Christ who answers prayers. Please turn with me this morning to Luke chapter 5. I just want to read two simple verses from the Gospel of Luke. That's all that I'm going to read initially, is two very simple verses. And my message this morning is salvation by faith. Salvation by faith. Luke chapter 7, and then we're going to go to Luke chapter 18. Keep your fingers tucked in those two places. We'll deal with more verses, but I only want to read two individual verses. Luke chapter 7, and the very last verse of chapter 7, verse 50. And he said to the woman, "Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." And then reading from Luke chapter 18 and verse 42. And Jesus said unto him, "Receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee." My message, salvation by faith. Father, I thank you, Lord God. We're not coming here out of religion, out of tradition, out of ritual, Lord God, out of duty. We're not coming here out of law, trying to get ourselves saved, trying to be good enough, trying to be righteous enough. Lord God, you only ever save the unrighteous. It's only the ungodly that you save. We've got nothing to commend ourselves. None of us is good. None of us is righteous. None of us fear God. Lord God, it's impossible to be, Lord God, what you'd have us to be apart from a miracle that comes through faith. My God, I reached out to you, even by faith, oh God, this morning, that you'd reveal yourself in this gathering in Jesus' name. Amen. My message, salvation by faith, salvation by faith. In the Bible, nothing was ever received without faith. Nobody was healed without faith. Nobody was saved without faith. No prayer was ever answered without faith. And I'm going to tell you, you that are sitting here, who are born again and saved and have had a real experience with Christ, where he has radically changed you, it was by faith, not by works, not by your efforts, not by your knowledge, not by your family upbringing. It was a act of faith that radically changed you. Some of you sit in this room, you used to use drugs, you used to get drunk, you used to pray to statues, but you sit here in this room saying, "I know that I am saved. Hallelujah. All my sins are forgiven. I know that I know Jesus Christ, that he lives in me." How did it happen? It was by faith. As we said before, you begin to read the men and women of the Bible. You read of Rahab the harlot in the Old Testament, and the Bible says, by faith Rahab was saved. By faith. She couldn't work it out. She couldn't change herself. She was a harlot, and she actually was a member of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. If you take the Virgin Mary and you trace her genealogy back far enough, you will find a harlot in that genealogy. She was a prostitute, a woman who sold her body, and yet by faith she became an utterly radical, different person. Look at the two verses we've just read here in Luke chapter 7 and in Luke chapter 18. We read the same term, and it's the only time that it's used quite like this in the Bible. It says, and this is Jesus speaking, he says, "Thy faith hath saved thee." Let me say that again. This is Jesus speaking to two individuals. A woman who was a sinner and a man who was a sinner. But they weren't after that day. Jesus looks at them and he says, "Your faith has saved you." It is your faith in your heart that has radically changed your life. We read similar terms to this elsewhere in Luke. We read this statement, "Thy faith has saved you." has made you whole. We read of sick men and women coming to Jesus. Some of them were afflicted with illness for 18 years. They were bleeding. They were dying. No doctor could help them. They sold all of their possessions, gave all of their money to be healed, and they're still sick 18 long years. And yet Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. Look at you. You're standing here before me. You've been miraculously healed. It wasn't just my power, but it was your faith received what I provided. Only Jesus can heal, isn't that right? Only Christ can do a miracle. I have been healed in my body. I thank God for the miracles He's done in my life. I have seen Him heal the sick. I have watched Him heal my body. I don't have power. Faith cannot do that. Mental assent can't do that. Mind over matter doesn't heal broken legs, doesn't heal a messed up stomach, doesn't heal those things, doesn't, when you've wrecked your neck, I tell you, mind over matter doesn't make your neck better. But faith in God can heal you. And we read of this all through the New Testament. Your faith has made you whole. What does whole mean? There's not a bit of sickness in your body. From the top of the head to the sole of your feet, you're physically healed. If you're sick before, you're not now. This isn't mind over matter where we say we're ill and we say, no, no, I believe I'm healed. Or we are acting in sin. We are committing sin. We're living as a sinner. But we're saying, no, I believe that I'm okay. That isn't real faith. Real faith is different. It changes the whole life. We see in both these verses, Jesus saying, you've been saved by faith. What is salvation? It is the born again experience. Oh, well, I was raised in church. That's not salvation. Oh, well, I know about God. That isn't salvation. Well, I go to church. That isn't salvation. Oh, I've got my name in a church roll. You might as well have it on a bread roll. It's of no use. It doesn't mean anything. I tell you, the only thing that matters is, have you had an experience where you put faith in Jesus and you've been saved? What do you mean saved? I mean born again. I mean saved from an eternity in hell, because there is a real hell, you know. When you die, you'll either go to heaven or you go to hell. Paul the Apostle says to be absent from the body is to be immediately in the presence of Jesus Christ. Immediately. Or else you'll immediately be in a place of torment. There is a real heaven and hell. I don't care if the Pope changes his mind after all of these millennia to say, oh, we don't believe in purgatory anymore. Well, I never believed in it anyway. I just believed in hell. The Bible says there is a hell, and if the Pope changes his mind and all the cardinals, there's still a real hell. You know why? Because Jesus said it. Yes. My faith isn't built on a church or a church leader. The Bible says Jesus is the head of the church. The head isn't in Rome or any other city. He certainly isn't in Limerick. There is only one head of the church, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. You must be saved by faith. Yeah. What do you mean saved? I mean saved from an eternal hell. I mean saved from the power of sin. But I love my sin, then you're not saved.
Amen.
But I can't stop sinning, then you're not saved. You have yet to experience being born again. And I want to tell you, real faith is so radical that the things you once loved and desired and had a power over you, faith will break that. Literally. We read of Moses, that great man of God, in Hebrews 11. We know he was raised to the second highest position in Egypt. He had all the education of Pharaoh's palace. He had all the riches, all the titles, all the esteems that could bring to you. He had a future at the very highest throne of any empire. Do you know what the Bible says in Hebrews 11? By faith, he chose rather to suffer by the people of God, with the people of God. Do you know what Moses done? Moses rejected it all. How did he do that? It says he rejected Egypt and all of its riches and all of its glory. He rejected it. He turned his back on it. He ran from it. How did he do it? By faith. By faith. Do you realize faith will bring you out of the world? Do you realize faith will radically change the whole direction of your life? How you think, how you feel, the decisions you make, this simple thing called faith is life changing. Paul actually writes about this very often concerning being saved by faith. You're not saved by church attendance. You're not saved by religious works. You're not saved by being good enough. Or all of you would be on your way to hell this morning and there'd be no hope. Who would dare stand here and say, I'm righteous, I'm good enough, I have done enough in my life. Some people think, well, God is going to weigh it up and say, well, here's the bad deeds and here's the good deeds. Let's see how it goes. All of you would be damned. I would be lost. There would be no hope. I tell you, it's not trying to get it to tilt slightly. I was saved by faith. I can take you to the spot. They pulled the building down. It's not there anymore. But I can take you to the spot. My salvation is still here. It is still real. As the day I got born again. You know, on that day as a little kid, I cried unto him and he changed my life. Radically changed me. You know, it's lasted good. It's never worn out. It's never disappointed me. He has never failed me. I find that everything he said is true. Everything in this Bible is true. He is a savior. He is a healer. You know what? I'm glad I didn't meet, and there are real Christians that don't believe Jesus heals today. I'm glad I didn't meet them before I got healed. It's well they didn't sit down and re-educate me and say, Jesus doesn't do that today. I could sit here today and say, well, he healed me. What are you going to do about it? My Bible says he's a healer. I have found him to be a healer. But you're saying that your Jesus doesn't heal. Others will say he doesn't baptize in the Holy Ghost today. Well, he did in the New Testament. I'm a simple believer who believes everything this book says. I just believe it. Do you realize everything is by faith? Paul the Apostle writes in Ephesians 2 and verse 8, for by grace are you saved. Oh, but the church in this city says it's by works and grace. My Bible doesn't say it. Amen. The church out there says, well, it is by grace, but you've got to work for it. The church says that. Catholicism says it. Islam says it. Buddhism says it. All the religions say it. There's only one group of people who are different, and that's those who believe the Bible, who are born again Christians. And they actually believe that they are saved by grace through faith. And Paul preaches that and taught it. You're saved through faith. How do you get saved? Is it the size of my faith? No. Is it the power of my faith? No. Because if he wasn't a savior, my faith wouldn't do anything. Well, I've got faith to be better. You'll just be a better sinner. That's all you'll be. You'll just be a reformed character. Oh, they say now in prisons that prisons are now a place of reform, of re-education. We don't send people to prison now to discipline them. We send them there to reform them. In our schools, they don't have a cane. When I went to school, the headmaster had a cane. Scariest thing in all the world is sitting outside the headmaster's office and you're waiting for him to come. He's got a cane. I tell you, you feared that man in those days. Now what they do, they'll sit you down with a nice old granny who'll re-educate you and say, now, did someone do something to you? No, you're just a bad boy. That's all it is. Well, do you have a low self-esteem? Maybe you're not managing because you have a low self-esteem of yourself. I'm going to tell you, we're all sinners. That's man's problem. We don't need psychology to help us. We don't need a new self-esteem. All I need to be is born again. I tell you, that's a cure for every one of us. You must be born again. You need to be saved. Look at these two people, one man, one woman, and Jesus says, your faith has saved you. Amen. It didn't progressively happen over 10 years. It didn't happen over a period of time. It was on one day Jesus said, here, right now, you as an individual, you have been saved by faith. You're a man, I could see it. He didn't say it to the crowd, did he? He didn't say, all of you are saved by faith. If you're in my church, you're saved by faith. He didn't say that. He says, you, sir, you have just been saved by faith. Lady, you have just been saved by faith. Your faith has just saved you. I'm looking at you. You're a saved man and a saved woman. I'll never forget the morning Pat got saved. I can't speak of the rest of you because I wasn't there. I didn't watch the birth. Do you know, Sinini, she was there for that child. She can talk about the birth. She was there. She was there. The doctor was there. I wasn't. She can tell me. But she witnessed that birth. She felt the pain of it. I stood there that day watching him get born again. And the man who walked into that church walked out differently. He wasn't the same man. Was it his good works? Did you do something great in the meeting that morning? He must have done something profound. Maybe we put him through a rehab course. What changes a man's heart, a man's mind, a man's life? How could it be that he walks in on a Sunday morning and he's going due south to hell, and when he walks out again, he's going due north to heaven? How is it that such a radical change in a nature and a heart can happen? What happened in that service? It must have been one of the greatest services. And we were all in. Oh no, it was just a normal service. But there was a man who put faith in Christ and he was saved on the spot. Right there, right at that moment, you can give the time, you can give the place. He got born again. And as I was sitting on the front seat watching him, I'm going, I am watching. And no one needed to push him over. Nobody had to cajole him. I'm just standing watching and I'm going, I am watching a man being born again before my eyes. Literally changed before my eyes. Heaven is doing a work on this man. Notice here the first of the people Jesus deals with in Luke chapter 7 and verse 50. Jesus said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. She searched for peace all her days. Do you know this woman, her mind was tormented? Do you know her heart was pulled apart? Do you know this lady's life was a mess? Oh, many people thought she was fine, but in her own heart she knew she has a mess. She doesn't have peace. And yet here on this day, Jesus says, lady, thy faith has saved you. The thing you've been needing all along, the thing that's been your greatest desire and need, you have just received it. Not by standing on your head, not by joining the church, but by one act of faith, you've been changed here on the spot. Look at this lady. She was saved, and Jesus said, how? By faith.
Amen.
How do you get saved? By faith. How are you going to get saved in this room? By faith. You can be saved this morning. Oh, I don't know enough. That's got nothing to do with it. I don't feel enough. That has nothing whatsoever to do with it. I want you to notice a few things here. Jesus didn't say about the lady, thy love has saved you. Look at this lady. She wasn't saved by love. Notice she came into the house of a Pharisee. She heard Jesus was there and she brought a very precious box. It was all that she had. All of her money was in that. It was a very precious ointment in a glass case. Usually that was kept for your marriage day. But she is a woman, an immoral woman, a loose woman, a woman of bad reputation. And yet here she has a vase filled with very precious oil. And when she was raised as a little girl, her mommy says, now you start saving for that, working for it, laboring. And when you have that precious oil, you keep it for your husband. The man you're going to marry. The first man that you ever sleep with. You actually keep this oil for that hour. This is the most precious thing you'll have in carrying it into your marriage. But this woman hadn't kept herself. She'd made a mess of her life. All she had was a dream, and that dream was a pipe dream. The Bible says when she went into this house where Jesus was, she stood at his feet behind him. And she is weeping. Tears are rolling down her face. She is shaken, weeping in this house. Jesus is sitting at the table and he's eating food in the house of Pharisees. All these religious people are sitting around him and they're just eating and they're caught up in talking. But this lady is there with another reason. She's not saying, like the Pharisee, it's so good to have Jesus in my house. She's not saying that. She is there saying, I am broken. I am broken. I am a broken lady. Notice what she does. It actually says she began to wash his feet with tears. And she did wipe them with her own hair. And she began to kiss his feet. And then she took this precious oil that should have been kept for the one man in her life. And she broke that bottle. And she began to anoint his feet. You see, this was love. This showed that she had a love for Jesus Christ. But her love wouldn't save her. All that devotion, all that desire for him, that recognition that he is everything, that love didn't save her. Love can't save you. Love for Christ can't save you. Well, if I try to love him enough, maybe he'll save me. Maybe if I give him something or sacrifice something, maybe I'll be saved. Maybe if I give this up or give that up. No. No, that will never save you. Love does not save you. This woman, look at her. She obviously loved Christ. It says in verse 47 of chapter 7, it says, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. What's Jesus saying? She's been forgiven, therefore she loves. Why do you love as a Christian? Why do I love Jesus? Because he forgave me. I don't get saved because I love him. I couldn't have loved him enough. You will never be saved for loving Jesus. You don't get saved because you say, well, I'll try to love him. You won't do it. You won't do it. But when he saves you by faith and forgives you of your sin, then you will love him. When you've been greatly forgiven, when your sins are truly forgiven, then you love him. Do you realize love is the fruit of salvation? It's not the cause of salvation. This lady didn't get saved because she loved God. It was after she got saved that she loved God. You can't love God. You'll kill yourself saying, I want to love him, I'll try to love him. You'll fail until you're saved. You see, when you get your sins forgiven, you love him. I was a great sinner. Look at this lady. She was a great sinner. Everybody knew. Everybody knew. Christ knew. The Pharisees in the house knew. All of them said, she's a sinner. What's she doing in here? What's she doing touching the master? Doesn't he know who she is? She's an immoral lady. I tell you, she was a forgiven lady. Do you know what happened with this lady? She was forgiven. What's forgiveness? God releases all your sins. God takes all of your lifetime of sins, your thoughts, your words, your actions, and he says, it's gone, it's forgiven, it's released, you're free. Do you want freedom this morning from your sin? Because either you'll pay for your sin, either you will pay the consequence of your sin, and do you know what the consequence of sin is? Is eternal death and an eternal separation from God. Eternal. No second chance. That is the consequence then. Either you'll pay the consequence or you'll look to Jesus in faith. You see, this lady wasn't saved by love. But when she was saved, she loved God with all of her heart. Forgiveness produces love. Love is the fruit of being saved by faith. I didn't earn it. I received a love in my heart for Christ when I got saved, when I got forgiven, when I was set free. You know, this morning at the Lord's table, I love him because of what he's done for me. I couldn't have earned that. I didn't deserve it. I didn't work hard at it. He forgave me and I love him. I'm here in this meeting worshiping him because I love him. Secondly, she was not saved by repentance. If I repent hard enough, maybe he'll save me. If I feel my sin, if I cry unto him, Lord, forgive me. Well, I pray every day, but I don't feel forgiven. You see, repentance does not save you. The Bible doesn't teach repentance saves you. Repentance cannot save you. It cannot. That might sound strange to your ears if you knew my preaching. Very strange. But repentance cannot save you. You cannot be saved without repentance.
Yeah.
But it's not repentance that saves you. It cannot save. Repentance produces a faith that will lead you to forgiveness. If you really repent, I mean really repent, faith is created in you to go to Jesus and be forgiven. If you're always feeling guilty, always feeling condemned, always failing, never getting free, never feeling forgiveness, you're not repenting. You might feel sorry about your sins. You might even pray them to forgive you. You might try to do many things. You know, in the church in the dark ages, they used to whip themselves, and they still do. They still do. People walk on their knees. Remember our friend who took his shoes off a few years ago, went walking up the road years ago to try and get saved. He thought if he walked on the tarmac road, not 1,000 miles from here, good Catholic, and he thought if he walked on that road crying out to God, God would see his bare, cold, sore feet and save him. He didn't get saved.
Amen.
He didn't get saved. He was trying to repent. He was trying to get forgiven of sin. But you know what real repentance does? When you feel your sin. Look at this lady. Is she repenting? Yes. She is weeping. She is broken. She is tired of her sin. She says, I am finished with sin. I am tired of sin. What did it do? It produced a faith in her. If no faith is produced in you, you're not repenting. All you're doing is saying, I'm sorry. I feel more depressed. That's because it isn't real repentance. Real repentance lifts you up.
Yeah.
It doesn't dash you down. Real repentance will break your heart, but it'll bring you to the healer, who is Jesus Christ. He said, we see her tears. Look at her tears in this, and we do see repentance. Tears do reveal repentance. But I tell you what, tears won't save you. Tears won't make you washed in the blood of the Lamb. Tears won't get you free of your sin. Tears can't do that. What, tears even feeling sorry for my sin? Yeah, they don't save you. Oh, but maybe if I really feel my sin, if I really feel tormented, maybe then I can get saved. No.
Amen.
No, that doesn't do it. It is faith that saves you alone. Only faith can save you. Paul the Apostle actually wrote in the New Testament, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. Two types of repentance. There's the real repentance that brings you to salvation. It sets me free. There's another type of repentance. It's religious, but it's dead. Thirdly, she was not saved by humility. Look at her. She kissed his feet. She was on the ground. She didn't come looking for anything. We see her humility. We see her lowliness. We see her utter reverence for Jesus Christ. Some people in church today have no reverence. You know what, the walk into church? That is a stinking attitude.
Amen.
I reverence God. If you have no reverence for God, you're not saved. If you have no respect and holy fear of him, I tell you, you're yet in your sins. Look at this lady. She did have humility. This is because God is working in her feet. Maybe she was a proud lady before. Maybe she said, I wouldn't get down on my knees. I wouldn't wash any man's feet. I use men. Men use me. I've been hurt many times by men. She was a woman, an immoral woman. Maybe men had hurt her many times. And she said, I wouldn't wash any man's feet. She does on this day. Look at her humility and her reverence. No foolishness, no casualness, no high thoughts. She is at his feet, kissing his very feet. That is the height of humility. Humility is not only a low thing, it's a high thing. But you know what? They'll never save you.
Yeah.
Maybe if I can get low enough, or have a fear of him, or an awesomeness, or sit quietly, that won't save you.
Yeah.
That cannot save you. It is faith in God that will save you. You see, faith will lift you out of hell and put you in heaven.
Amen.
Faith will lift you out of sin and put you in holiness. He'll lift you out of yourself and put you in Jesus Christ. Faith is real. It's a dynamic thing. Look at Jesus when he turned to the other men. He says to these men, and they're religious men, he says, I entered your house. You didn't give me any water for my feet. You didn't kiss me on the cheek. She's never stopped kissing my feet. Look at these men, they're proud. They know the word of God, they're religious. They're looking at her saying she's a sinner.
Yeah.
But look at their heart, they're proud. They're arrogant, there's no humility. They don't even wash his feet. Here she is washing them with her very tears. We need to get back to real humility again. A real brokenness. Maybe we'll have a foot washing service one of these days. If we advertise it, none of yous would turn up, I'm sure. Or one or two. But look at this lady washing his feet with tears. He said, you didn't anoint my head with oil. Here she is anointing my feet with oil. You have taken the high position. She's taken the low position. But that didn't save her. You cannot be saved by repentance or good works or by love or by humility. All of those are excluded, and yet they're a part of salvation. Show me faith and I'll show you humility. Show me real faith in God, I'll show you repentance right on its heel. Show me real faith in God and I'll show you a real love for God. Show me someone who doesn't have any love for God. There's no faith there. Oh, I believe in God. I love God. No, you don't. Look at your life. You wouldn't sacrifice him. He hasn't changed anything in your life. You don't want to leave anything for him. I tell you, I would leave worlds for Candace. I so love her. I would sacrifice houses and lands and money and jobs and everything. And that's for her. I so love her and forsake these. But I tell you what, I love Jesus Christ a whole lot more. My whole life is devoted to him. I would do anything. I'd go to Siberia. I would go to Limerick. I tell you, that's a fruit of love. Why am I here? I just love him. I love you. But I tell you what, I love him far more than I love you. And it's because I love him I'm here. I wouldn't be here for any other reason. If I didn't love him, I would not be in Limerick. I would go, well, I think this. Well, maybe I should do this. What about the man in Luke chapter 18? In verse 42 it says, and Jesus said unto him, thy faith has saved thee. Sir, your faith has saved you. Look at this man. It says in chapter 18, and it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, Jesus was coming to the city of Jericho. He was just outside it. And it says, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. Here he is, he's a blind beggar sitting at the roadside, and multitudes of people are passing by. He hears the multitudes and he actually asks, what does all this mean? What's all the noise? What's the commotion? You see, he's blind, he can't see Jesus. He's got to hear second hand. Here's a man, he can't see Jesus. He doesn't know Jesus is there. But the crowd start telling him, it's Jesus. Jesus is here. Jesus is walking by. I can't see him. I can't see him. That's because you're a blind man. But I don't feel him. I don't hear his voice. That's because you're dead in your sins. He can be right beside you and you don't perceive him because your sin separates you. But how come I don't feel him? How come I don't see him? How can you be so certain God is real? I know him, he's here. I see him, I feel him, I hear him. Not physically, but by faith. Faith isn't just a feeling. Well, I hope he's there. I know he's here. I know he's changed my life. I know my sins are forgiven. Notice this man, as he hears about Jesus, they told him that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He's hearing about it, he can't see it. He can't see Jesus. And it says that he cried saying, Jesus! You're not meant to shout in church, are you? In Jesus' church it's okay. Jesus! Thou son of David, have mercy on me! Didn't hear me. Jesus! Thou son of David, have mercy on me. He's a desperate man. I want you to notice, he cried out loud. He begins to cry. He can't even stand up. He wouldn't know what direction he's going. He's a beggar. He just begs to get his food every day. He has a lousy life. People treat him lightly. Oh, have sympathy for him. He doesn't know what it is to see. But look at him. He is crying aloud, save me, save me, save me. He is earnest. He is burning. He is desperate. But that doesn't save him. Oh, if you have faith, you will cry. You'll say, I'm not letting go of you until you answer me. Have mercy on me. You will cry out. Notice he didn't cry any tears. The lady cried tears. He didn't cry any tears. Notice the lady didn't go crying out loud, did she? No, but he did. The man and the woman were different, but they both had faith. He had no tears, she had no shout. But both of them were revealing faith and being there. They're after Christ. But I want to tell you, that man wasn't saved. What did Jesus say about him? Sir, you're saved by faith. Your faith has saved you. Was it his crying? No. Well, it actually says here, the crowd around him, those around him, they said, shh. Quiet. Be quiet. Stop shouting. Don't you realize this is a religious man? Don't you realize there's a religious meeting? You have to be very respectable. Do you ever walk into a dead church? It's utter silence.
Yeah.
Scared to make any noise. We do shout here, don't we? We do clap here. You know why? My Jesus is alive. This isn't a morgue. We don't have a picture of him nailed to a cross. My Jesus is not on a cross. Neither is he in a crib. He is seated on a throne with a crown on his head, reigning. That's why I'm happy this morning. If I go to a funeral, I'll be sad. That's why when you walk into a dead church, Jesus is dead. Of course I'm going to be sad. Going to be quiet. Shh. Be careful you don't scare someone. What happened if you walked into some of the church in this city and just in the middle of a meeting, glory! You'd scare them and go, we have got a nutcase. No, I just love him. Look at this man. He is crying. Do you know the crowd around him said, shh, keep quiet. Sit down. Don't be bothering the master. Do you know what he done? It says he cried out more. He refused to hold his peace. He said, I'll shout louder. I'll be more persistent. Nobody's going to stop me. But that didn't save him. He is a determined man. He says, God help me. Nobody is going to stop me. I'm going to be here until he saves me. I'm not going to let him walk down that street. Jesus, I once saved. But that didn't save him. It wasn't his determination. Oh, you could sit here and say, I'm not determined. I don't feel a determination. Maybe I won't get saved. That doesn't save you. It is faith.
Amen.
It was the man's faith that actually saved him. Or what about his biblical knowledge? He actually said, Jesus, thou son of David. Notice what he calls him. Thou son of David. That's a biblical term. Do you know what that means? He knew the Bible.
Yeah.
He knew the prophecies. He knew the Old Testament. That a Messiah is going to be born in Israel. He knew the Bible. And he says, you are the Messiah. I know what the scriptures say. You are fulfilling the Bible. That didn't save him. All the knowledge of the Old Testament prophecies could not save him. It wasn't his biblical knowledge. Jesus said, your faith has saved you. Let me briefly leave you with 5 points of what this real faith was that saves. First of all, real faith that saves you is fixed on Jesus. It is absolutely caught up in Jesus, not church. I've seen people, their faith isn't in Jesus. It's just, well, I want to be saved. I want to be a Christian. I want to feel good. I want to have my consciences. That isn't faith. Real faith is, I don't care if I felt in the depths the rest of my life. I don't care if I had to walk through the worst tears. I believe in you. It's faith in Christ, in the person of Christ. It's not religion. It's not even just good promises. It's not the promise of making you rich. Well, if I believe in Jesus, he'll make my life good. That isn't faith. Faith says, I wouldn't care if none changes in my life. I believe you died for me. I believe you're the Son of God. I put all my trust in you. I believe in you. You died for me. You love me. That's where faith is. Secondly, faith arrives arises out of despair. Notice with both of these, the little lady despaired of her past. The man despaired of his future. He's blind.
Yes.
He's hopeless. Blind eyes don't open.
Mm.
You don't wake up tomorrow and your eyes suddenly are open. It doesn't happen. If you went to bed last night and your leg is crippled, you'll wake up tomorrow morning, your leg is crippled. It's physical. Unless God does a miracle. And I believe He does.
Amen.
But you know, faith arises out of despair. That man went, I'll never see. I'll never be different. I'll always be begging. Faith doesn't leave you there.
Amen.
Faith lifts you up out of there. And you go saying, Jesus, I want to see.
Yeah.
Jesus, do you know what Jesus said to him? Sir, what do you want? Imagine looking at a blind man, a beggar. Okay, what do you want? Imagine someone coming in a wheelchair. And Jesus says, so what do you want? I think, are you mad? I want out of this.
Yeah.
I need help. But you know what? They had to ask. That's faith.
Mm.
Oh, I don't believe He can do that, so I'll just ask for this. I don't believe He can change my life, so can you ease my conscience? That's not faith. Faith says, I want, either this is real or it's not.
Amen.
Either this changes my life or it's not. Either it's a miracle or it is not. Thirdly, faith is unhindered by people. Remember the lady? She walked into the house of a Pharisee. Do you know what the man is thinking? What is this lady doing in my house with my Messiah? Who is she? Can you imagine the grin on his face? Would you have the boldness to walk into a Pharisee's house? He does everything perfect. He's religious. He knows everything. And he looks at you and goes, who are you? You're the scum of the earth. What are you doing in here? You're a sinner. Yep. And she's going to the right person.
Amen.
Do you know the only people who come to Jesus are sinners? No righteous people come. He didn't come for the good and the righteous. He came for sinners and people who couldn't help themselves. People who are lost and who are in trouble. That's who Jesus came for. But faith will not let anyone hinder. She went, I don't care about his gurney face. I don't care that this is his house. I want Jesus. You know, if I have real faith, I wouldn't even care about the people in the church. You wouldn't put me off. If the word of God's being preached and half the church were hypocrites, I'd be here and say, I want Jesus.
Amen.
I don't care about his or her gurney face or them frowning at me. I'm here. Faith
Amen.
Does that. It lifts you above the people. What about that man? Shh. Keep quiet. Oh no, I'm not keeping quiet. Nobody's gonna Amen. Hinder me. Shh. Don't be acting like that. You go all strange if you go to that church down the road. You know, they act funny. They don't act like us, like dead ducks. You bet we don't act like dead ducks. I believe in a real, living Christ. Fourthly, it was a public profession of faith. If you have faith, it's going to be seen. It'll be seen in your home. It'll be seen in the workplace. It'll be seen by your family. It'll be seen by your friends. You cannot hide faith. Faith doesn't care what anyone thinks. Faith says, I believe in Him. I need Him. I want Him to save me. That little lady went in there saying, I don't care what they say about me. I don't care what they think about me. I want Jesus. That man said, I don't care if everyone gets offended. I'm shouting. I need saved. How desperate are you to be saved this morning? Do you want to carry on the same the next 30 years? Are you saying, I need Him to change me? Last of all, faith changed those lives. Faith changed those lives. It says about the little man that when he told Jesus he wanted to be healed, Jesus said unto him, receive your sight. You get what you pray for. I mean with faith. Oh, well, I prayed for my eyes to be open. They're still not open. He didn't answer me. No, you didn't believe. Oh, I believed. No, you didn't.
That's right.
If you believe, you'd be healed. Every time I believed for healing, I got healed instantly.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I prayed many times. But the moment I reached out and touched him, instantly I was healed. You know, the night I prayed to get saved, He saved me.
Amen.
It was faith. God always does that with faith. Jesus said, receive your sight, thy faith has saved thee. What done it? Faith.
Hallelujah.
This man has faith. Well, here you go then. I'm going to give you what you desire. But it's impossible. Of course it is. You have to have it by faith. Good works won't do it. And then notice verse 43, and immediately he received his sight. oh, well, I believe I'm a Christian. I still talk the same, act the same, do the same. No, look at him. It says, immediately he received his sight. He was blind before, he's not anymore. He's been blind all of his life, if not for years. He's not today. He can see. I'm not a sinner this morning. I am not the same as I am. God changes you. And if he doesn't change you, you haven't believed. When you believe, he'll change your nature. You can't work it up. You can't earn it. If you ask him for it, he'll save you. Call unto me and I will answer you and save you and change you. And if that offends you, you're in trouble. Serious trouble. Do you know why? He's a God of grace and a God of love. We do need this. The little man, it says, he received his sight. And do you know what he done? He followed him. What did he do? Followed Jesus. That's the fruit of being saved. You say, I want to follow him. I don't do it to get saved. Well, I'm trying to follow him to get saved. No. When he saves you, he says, come follow me. He's not going to ask you to do 1,000 things to get saved. He says, just believe me. I'm offering it to you. But when you get saved, you go, I love him. I'll follow him anywhere. Do you ever love someone when you're young and you just want to follow your cousin down the road? Just to be with your big cousin or someone in your family. You know why? They're your hero when you're a kid. I want to tell you, when Jesus saves you, you go, I'll go where he goes. He changed me. He immediately healed me. I follow him, and it says he glorified God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Do you know you can see it? If you have faith, I can see it. And you know what? I'm going to give glory to God. Let's stand together.